It's Thanksgiving season this week, and we are living in a country which has made it a legal holiday. How happy we are about that, because the beginning of the holiday, the history, 1789, President George Washington celebrated Thanksgiving to God on the first Thursday of November. And he said, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities, then much for the credit for the adoption of a later annual National Thanksgiving Day, it was attributed to Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale. For 30 years, she promoted the idea. President Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of November as a national day of Thanksgiving. Over the next 75 years, they did it. Then in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday, and Lincoln's original proclamation spiritually happened at a pivotal point in his life. And this was when he was in Gettysburg at the battlefield where, according to this, he committed his life to Christ. Yes, so I just think it's beautiful that we have it. I used to live in Europe, and they knew Americans had a Thanksgiving, and it was fascinating to them. Like, tell us, what is the holiday about it? And I would be able to share, we as a nation are giving thanks to God. Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Wow, what a blessing. So, you know what, so turn to in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, please. And we're going to read from a number of these verses, from verse 2, quite far to verse 20, I believe, although I'm not sure we'll get through all of it, but we'll start in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Father, we pray you would minister to us your word as a way of thinking, thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Pour your spirit on each and every one, even healing our bodies, Lord, answering our prayers. Thank you for this country, for our leaders, for the needs that people have. Thanksgiving. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, I'd like you to look at Romans 1, please, for a moment. Romans chapter 1. There are people that are not thankful. Have you met any? Romans 1, verse 21. Because that they when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. When they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful. That's pretty profound, isn't it? How did they know God? I don't think they were born again, but the Spirit of God was moving in their life, and the presence of God was strong enough so they could say God or believe in God. But when they were knowing this, they turned away. They suppressed it, and they were not thankful. And then God gave them over to a mindset, verse 21, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. These are unbelievers that get established in their way of thinking and their way of life. They are very active in their hearts and minds, but they are not believing, nor are they thankful. They just are turned over to their imagination, their way of thinking, and they do whatever they please or whatever notion, and they're like anti. So this has been through history. There are those that believe and they are thankful, and those that do not believe and they are not thankful. There's two, we could say. So today we'll talk about what we are thankful for and how the Spirit of God draws us into His will, and we learn as way of life to be worshipers of God and very thankful. When we worship God and the Spirit of God is filling us, we become thankful in our spirit and in our heart. We are worshipers. Okay? Amen. You may be seated. We have a map up on the screen there. And this is a map of the Middle East. And in this geography, we have many lessons that are derived from our Bibles, because we know that when Abraham came to Israel, he came here. I don't know if this is this okay? Okay. He came here. And he had very little. He didn't have any land. He didn't have a son. He was given a promise. Through many years in time, he had a son by miracle, who had two sons that were twins, Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob, one of them, had 12 sons. Joseph, one of them, was sold down into Egypt. So we could say back over here, Joseph ends up living. There's a famine in Israel, and Jacob said to his 11 sons, "What are you standing around for? There's food in Egypt. Go down into Egypt and get food for the family." So they did. They came into Egypt, and make a long story short, they end up living there and multiply to maybe the size of a nation, 2 million people. And they were slaves for 400 years. Slaves. Jewish people. People of promise, people that were given a nation, people that had a heritage, people that God had spoken to their fathers, their father, Jacob, their grandfather, Isaac, their great-grandfather, Abraham. After they were crying out in Egypt, asking God to change their situation, they cried out. And I mean, if we could feel what it means to be a slave with nothing, no land, no money, no rights, no name, no culture, nothing to write on, documenting things, no libraries, no government, you are nobodies. You Jews are nobodies. Wow. That's tough. It's hard for us to imagine it. to be nobodies in the world. But in fact, their nation is fulfilling prophecies that God gave to their forefathers, that they would go down into Egypt and God would bring them out. And when God spoke to Moses and he went to Egypt to do this work, he did not know the magnitude of what would happen. Surprisingly, they traveled, they went one night, and it said that they went with the lamb that they ate that night. The blood had been applied on their doorposts, and the death angel came past. The Jews survived that judgment on Egypt. They ate the lamb, and they went with unleavened bread because they were in a hurry. Bread that leavens, you got to wait a little bit for the gas to fill the dough and for it to rise. But this had to be eaten in a hurry. And God was doing it. They went a strange way. You can take a bus this way to Israel, like you can go this way. But they went down this way, trapped. They're trapped. But it's God. God brought them that way because they did not know it, but the sea would part. They would go to the other side and they would be thankful. They were amazed. The Egyptian army, the soldiers are washing up on the shore. Drowned, where the sea had, as the Jews passed on dry land, they see close behind them, drowning the Egyptian Pharaoh and his chariots and horses cast into the sea, their bodies washed up on the far banks, and the Jews are special. So are you. We were without God one time. We were also without promise. We were also slaves in a world where I couldn't stop. Whatever it was that was in your life, as it was in mine, was smoking marijuana. I couldn't stop. Somebody else, a credit card. I can't stop spending money. I can't stop lying. I can't stop cheating people. I can't stop being proud about who I am, what I've done. I can't stop speaking. I can't stop hiding. Or we could say, every day we put a Halloween costume on and we hide who we really are. Like Adam and Eve putting fig leaves on after they sinned. We could not stop being slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. But Christ came. When he died, he took power over sin. He took power over our sin. He set us free. He saved us. We also, in a way, ended up on the other side of the Red Sea, kind of like, wow, that was amazing. What happened? God did it. We are thankful, deeply. We worship him. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to fight with myself, fight with my addictions and problems. And let's make a point here. We are not perfect people. And some still struggle with these things of our sin nature. But the Bible is saying, when Jesus said the words, "It is finished," he means it is finished. That the struggle with our sin nature in the mind of God has legally been finished. That we have died with Christ in Romans 6. Crucified with him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, But Christ lives within me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Even the faith I have is the faith of the Son of God. In Galatians 2 and verse 20. We are thankful. Now imagine, if God came to some person somewhere, and God kind of made himself known or was drawing the person to himself, and the man goes, no. Neither is he thankful. He is nothing. He just simply is a man given over to his sin nature and his arrogance and his pride and his lostness and his abstract self and his subjective feelings. All he has is himself. We understand that because we've lived like that ourselves. But it's so beautiful when we have a reason to be thankful. We have a lot given to us. Pastor Love, the 9 o'clock service, preached on Psalm 23. God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And if you could think of, have you ever seen those pictures on the beach and there's like a table there and there's two people at the beach maybe? In the presence of the ocean. But what if that table is in the presence of my enemies? That I have a table with God in the presence of the world. Some of us are meeting for family members for Thanksgiving holidays. And maybe some of your family members are not your favorite people. Maybe they don't think too highly of you, maybe. Or maybe some family members, but do your best. Get along. Be careful of your speech. Be edifying. But most importantly, know that God prepares a table in the presence of our family. The presence of people that maybe disagree. The presence of people maybe at work, or the presence of the NFL or the NBA, or the presence of Toyota, or the presence of Washington, D.C., or Annapolis, Maryland. In the presence of others, there is a table for us. And then it says, he anoints our head with oil, and then it says, our cup runs over. Pastor Love said that in the ancient world, the cup, they always kept it full when you visited, and your host would always fill your glass. Like in the restaurants here, maybe you've been in one of those kind where the waiter is constantly filling your cup. Just filling it, and it means you are welcome to stay. You can stay longer. Stay with us. We are glad you are here. We are filling your cup. And in a way, that is how God speaks to us too. That he was constantly filling our cup, even to the point of overflowing. You are welcome. I have saved you. I am for you. I am not against you. I am on your side. I am loving you. I could not love you more. I gave you my son. And if I did not spare my son, how is it I could not also freely give you all things? Romans 8:32. It's beautiful. Thanksgiving. It says here that Thanksgiving happens, listen to this. It happens in the name of Christ. It happens in private worship, like Daniel when he prayed in Daniel 6, in public worship. Thanksgiving is in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. When we complete great undertakings like in Nehemiah 12, before taking food in John 6:11. We give thanks. When we remember God's holiness, we give thanks. When we remember the goodness and mercy of God, we give thanks. For Christ's power, we give thanks. For the reception and effectual working of the Word of God in other people, we give thanks. Because we have victory over indwelling sin, Romans 7:23-25, I thank God through Christ Jesus. For with my flesh I serve sin, but with my mind, the law of God, the way of God, we give thanks. For the triumph of the gospel, for the conversion of other people. And every day we hear the news of people coming to Christ. With Vietnam, now with the missionaries in Vietnam, many people coming. The great growth of Christianity in China. Many coming to Christ in Africa. Many in India that are coming to Christ. And here in our church, people coming to Christ and knowing Christ and worshiping Him. This is what Ephesians 5 is really writing about. If you turn there to Ephesians 5, we can read a few of those. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Verse 3, and follow this with me, but fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. It shows you in our world maybe the sexual liberation, the sexual revolution and all that. That is what it is. But that has nothing to do with me and my convictions, my heart. He said in a pagan world, let it not be once named among you that you would do this. That's amazing. Guys, it's happening all the time out there. But let it not be part of us. How could it be? But because when you say no to God and you're unthankful and you're given over to your imaginations, then we're just trapped in our sin and cannot imagine living any other way. But if you come to God and you become thankful, the Spirit teaches you purity is a blessing. Holiness is a blessing. It's reality. The mind of Christ. Look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. You know, at work when they tell dirty jokes and you don't laugh, it's kind of embarrassing to them, maybe. To you, you're not so interested. Even these popular comedians that are maybe on YouTube, and you may be watching some of those. I like the clean comedians. I do. I don't hear many of them. But the ones that are clean are smart. You know, to speak like a pig is easy. But to speak like a wise man and have cleanliness and wisdom and humor and joy and thankfulness to God and honor God, that's a blessing. Okay, go to verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. We are separated, but this is spiritual. I am in their company, but there's a separation. I've been brought out of Egypt. It seems they are in Egypt, but I've been brought out of Egypt, and we're like got something going on. We're not done because the journey goes on. The Christian life goes on. Look at our map up here. They're here at Mount Sinai for a year and a half. They end up going over this way, up this way, and they look into the promised land. Which land? The land 400 years earlier that Abraham walked in. The same land. And they know that's their land. And in a similar way, as a Christian, you should have a feeling that there's something for me, a land. There should be a sense in the spirit. God did not save me just so that I would struggle with myself. God saved me so I could be free and be able to minister and take territory, not geographically, but spiritually. Take away from the devil what he's taken from people and from God. For the devil has taken away people. He has stolen them. He's a thief. I remember this story Martin Luther told in Germany. There was a little boy, 10 years old, who did something terrible. He committed suicide, a 10-year-old boy, and he hanged himself from some structure. And the Catholics wouldn't bury the boy in the Catholic cemetery because he had committed suicide, which was like a forbidden thing, an unforgiven thing. And Martin Luther, I remember this story, he said, no, he is to be buried in the Catholic cemetery. No. And this was his argument. He goes, if there's robbers in the woods, and an innocent man goes into the woods and the robbers take and beat him and steal from him, is he at fault? Is the man at fault because he's robbed? Is he at fault because he's been a victim of the evil? And he said, in a similar way, this boy was stolen. He was robbed. He was destroyed by the devil. When I think of that story, I like it because I believe there are people that are being stripped of their humanity by the devil. I believe the devil is selling drugs on the street. I believe the devil is selling women's bodies for prostitution. I believe the devil is a thief, and he uses people. And I believe that activity is happening today. But I also believe that we as believers are to be in this world to take the devil's territory and to say, you can't have him. That you can't have him, hands off. God is greater than the devil. God is greater than your sin. God is greater than your sin nature and your addiction and your fears. God is greater than your emptiness and loneliness. You are a slave in Egypt, and Christ came to take you out and bring you not only into this territory, which is wilderness, but he wants to take you up into the well-watered promised land. When this is happening in your life, you just say, thank you, God. In your spirit, you just say, thank you, God. Thank you. It's true. It's real. We are thankful. We are the most thankful people in the world. We're not just thankful, you know, how somebody could say, you know, I won $800, I played the lottery, I won $200 or $400, and I am thankful. Like, okay, because of your circumstances. And by the way, I don't encourage anybody to play the lottery. I think it's a waste of money. You know, I don't do that and think about it, but I'm trying to come up with an example on the spot here. They're thankful that they get a good parking spot close to the mall. They're thankful that they shot, 72 on the golf course. They are thankful that, they have something to eat. All those things are beautiful. Those are great things. But there's something that you have in your life that you can constantly relate to that always produces a way of thinking, which is one of thankfulness. Because our God did not leave us alone. He came here, and He's with us every day. That our God didn't leave us in our sin. He forgave us of all our sin. I like this, that we said it in the beginning. Jesus is not just going to complete the work, being confident of this very thing, that He which started a good work in you will finish it. Just for the good Christians, now, He is finishing it for all of us. He is finishing it. What God has done, He has done forever. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. You know what? I love being here and preaching to you because you have spiritual minds and hearts, and it helps me a lot. This is so satisfying. And whoever is up here preaching, it is so encouraging and edifying because you understand the things that we are saying. And you are worshiping God as we are talking and as we are listening. And we are in the very presence of a gracious, almighty God who has not left us here alone. And now said, okay, you're there by yourself. Okay, perform. Do the right thing. Come on. No, He has come in beside, in us, made it possible, gave the legal right to live in a victory over ourselves, over our sin. No, even over death. When we were in Israel a couple of weeks ago, there was the empty tomb and our group went in. There were 48 of us and they went in groups of six people. I shared this Wednesday night. And I was there overlooking the little event that we were doing, and six people would go in and come out. Everybody that came out was in tears. They left their stuff in the tomb. As the tour guide said, when you go into the tomb, leave your stuff in there. Leave it in there. But we don't need to go to Israel to go to the tomb to do it. We can do it every day in our hearts. And go before God and leave it at the cross or leave it buried at the tomb and come out with this kind of understanding that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Let's finish it up. Look at chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Be careful of how the mood of the world can get you down. The world can be moody and unthankful, always complaining. I think it's so funny. I travel around the world, as many of you know, and I go to different hotels sometimes, and I ask sometimes the worker, who are your favorite people that take care of the rooms, and who are the complainers? Who are the people that complain, I won't tell you what they've said to me, but I just want to say, it's easy to say, the towels. I don't have enough towels. My bed is too hard. It's too soft. I cannot. It's like, it's like, really? I mean, okay. But could we? I understand, okay, there can be problems. But behind it all, thank you. Thank you for your hotel. Thank you for taking care. Thank you for the hot water. We went to a place in the third world, and we turned on the water, and it made all these sounds, like... And then, one drop of water came out. And I was with one brother, and I got the drop of water, and I go, wow. Man, thank you, Lord. That's fantastic. There's always something you can be thankful for. There's always something you can take a spin. I mean, come on. We are alive. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God brought us out of Egypt and bring us into the promised land. Okay, chapter 5, verse 12. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, there are perverted things that happen, and some of you would like to search it out. What weird, perverted thing has happened in the world last night? It's a shame to talk about it. It's a shame even to think about it. I have no interest in any of that. I'm not searching out iniquity. I don't want to find the depths of the perversion of the human heart. I don't want to know. I realize I'm not totally naive, but I don't rejoice in any of it, and I don't talk about it. I don't spread that message around in this world that we live in. We have found another message. We have found the Spirit and the truth, the Word. Verse 12. But all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. Whatsoever does make manifest is light. That's us. Truth. Light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. This is so beautiful. Awake, church. Awake, church in America. Awake, church. Awake, Christian. Awake. You come out of Egypt. Awake. You're not a slave. Awake. God is with us. You give us manna from heaven. Our shoes will not wear out. Our garments will not get holes in them. Awake, church. There not be the smell of fire on your garment, not a hair singed. Awake. Awake, church. Wake up. Hear what God has to say to you. The same Spirit that quickened Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal body. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give you light. It's only a decision and an attitude. And the light comes. Verse 15. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Is this written to the Ephesians? Christians? This is written to the people in Baltimore. Us. Let's not walk as fools, but as wise. It's going to get there. Thanksgiving. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'll do it later. I'll go to church later. I'll go to the mission field later. I'll read my Bible later. I'll get around to it later. I'll get on fire with God later. I know that's important, but I'll get to it later. But it says, redeem the time. Like, use the time. That time is a gift. Use the time. Be Spirit-filled today. Live by faith today. Walk in the light today. Do His will today. Embrace the truth today. Be encouraged today. Verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now's the time. Pastor Stevens used to say, this is the place. We are the people. Help me. Now is the time. We are the people. This is the place. Isn't that good? Let's say it again. Now is the time. We are the people. This is the place. Did I get it right? Now is the time. Later, mañana, mañana. Tomorrow, tomorrow. Later, later. No. Now's the time. Now's the time. God is with us now. He is here. But look up at our screen. How long did it take for them to get out of here? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. 40 years. We can go into the land now, Joshua and Caleb said. We can go now. We can take it now in Numbers 13. And the other 10 said, no, gigantic, huge, ismos, magnifico. Hey, Spanish, Pastor. Hey, Pastor Hell. What's the Turkish? Turkey is what, Pablo? Pablo? Paolo? Paolo? Pavo? Oh, Pavo! Hey, now's the time to learn Spanish. Don't put it off. Now's the time. We are the people, and this is the place. Thanksgiving is a whole way of living. And I know you have met, listen, I got to finish up here, but you have met people, old people, and they have a sweet, apart from maybe physiological or chemical diseases or whatever it is, that being removed from what I'm saying, that has its effects on our brain and our lives for sure, if that's the case. But other than that, it's beautiful to meet an old person that's sweet and thankful. And they just say, thank you. Thank you. They live like that. They just say, thank you. I'm just so thankful. I've lived a great life by God's grace. Thank you, God. I've made it. I'm thank you, God. Isn't that beautiful? But then there's the old person. They're sitting on the front porch, ready to tear you apart. Nothing's right, you know. You're the problem. You know, it's like, don't be that way. But it says here, be filled, verse 19. Speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart. Giving thanks always, verse 20, for all things unto God and the Father. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is his will. And we see it in Nehemiah. We see it with the Apostle Paul. He is teaching the church. We see it in the book of Acts. We see it in our lives. We see it in our conventions when we get together. We have a beautiful spirit of thanksgiving and praise to God. We have so much to be thankful for. All the 96 things that have happened to you from the time of salvation, here's a list of them, and I'm not going to read them all, but think about it. We are chosen, we are called, we are reconciled, we are redeemed, we are born again, we are regenerated, we are glorified, we are adopted, we are complete, we are sanctified, we are forgiven, we are quickened, we are perfected forever. We are accepted, we are crucified, buried, raised with Christ, born of the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit. We are in God, in Christ, in the Spirit, dead to the law, delivered from the law, circumcised in Christ, made near to God by the blood, delivered from the power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's just some of them. Think about it. We are God's people, indwelt by the living God. We have a song we never had before. We got a little bit of a bounce in our step as we go to work. And we go, praise the Lord, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to go to work. But maybe I can find God in my working place. Maybe on the beltway in my car, I can listen to worship music. Maybe I can hear a message that'll build me up and edify me. And when I go to church, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of God. I will meet my brothers and my sisters, and we shall live forever. Thank you, God. You did it by your grace through your Son. Praise you. Amen. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Wow. Would you pray with me? If there's somebody here or listening on the internet and you don't have Jesus, with all your your loneliness and bad habits and all of your sins come to him as you are. All your unbelief and your fears come to him. God will take care of you, forgive you. Repent from your way of unbelief and simply believe in him. He will show you. He loves you. He washes you clean, forgives you, and puts your name in his book. Luke chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here saying that prayer, just put up your hand, please. Ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone, there's a hand over there to the left. God bless you. Anyone else, put up your hand. Yes to the Lord. Yes to the Lord. Okay. Amen.